When I was seven, I wanted an electric football game for Christmas in the worst possible way. Does anybody remember electric football games? Oh, look at that, enough for a league. For those of you who never experienced those days before digital games when dinosaurs roamed the earth, electric football games were like those old hockey game boards that you pulled the players up and down on the board with rods and you spun them to make them shoot. Except in electric football games, there were no rods. They were very modern and high tech. You lined the players up on the board and you turned on the switch and electricity in the board moved them forward or spun them around until the ball carrier was stopped. It sounds weird. I kid you not, this really existed. I was so desperate, and in my cloying and constant expression of my deep need for this electric football game, and I was far enough in my own maturing relationship with Santa that my parents finally got so sick of me that they dropped a big hint that there would indeed be an electric football game in my future. The delicious uncertainty of Christmas at that point changed to an expectation. I was confident that the game was on the way. I developed a sense of entitlement to my game, and I started now to whine about why I had to wait till Christmas. When this finally became intolerable to my poor parents, they surrendered again, or perhaps made a strategic move in spiritual training, because they finally said, okay, we're going to bring the game out for a half an hour, and you can play with it if you will not mention this again until Christmas. So I eagerly agreed, and I'm sure you can guess what happened. My expectations of the joys of electric football could never match what really happens when you play the game. And before that half hour was up, I was pretty close to already bored with it. And that was my major Christmas present. So I mark that year as the beginning of a downward spiral towards being a rather crotchety, conscientious objector to Christmas gifts by the time I came of age. I would spend many a November and December stewing in resentment about the expectations of gift buying and gift receiving. And my negative attitude was, of course, not based on just the financial and personal time sink that's involved in this. Nothing so mean or selfish as that. I had eminently rational, sensible arguments about why holiday gift giving is a tradition we could do without. You know, and you could name all of these good reasons, I'm sure. Our obligation to go out and buy supports the continuing manufacture of large amounts of unnecessary stuff. The binge of buying is a net loss or wash for most of us, and we get a lot of stuff that we don't really want or need. It's not spontaneous. Who wants a gift that, you know, is a duty? It's socially irresponsible to spend hundreds or thousands of dollars on Christmas gifts when there's all these worthy nonprofits we could be supporting. Essentially, the rationale for our greater good program, which I certainly support. And of course, the fifth eminently rational reason, my family knows that I love them. Do the holidays have to be some kind of test that I have to pass every year to demonstrate my continuing love and affection? I sound like a real fun guy to spend the holidays with, don't I? The good and the rational reasons for being a conscientious objector to holiday gift giving are many, but as time has passed, I have accepted that we live in a world that doesn't run on good reasons, and that even if I do rechannel some of my holiday spending to good causes, there's probably some value in a world in which good reasons aren't the only criteria that we have for making decisions or acting together. So when I counsel couples in anticipation of their marriages, I often feel like I'm a dentist who's poking around, you know, trying to find sensitive spots. And family traditions at the holiday season can often be one of those sensitive spots. Because we do have differing styles and attitudes and cultural backgrounds and degrees of comfort about our gift giving. I've wondered why this is, why the gift-giving and receiving process is so hard for some and so easy for others. For a time, I chalked it up to gender differences. But then, as time's gone on, I've noticed that there are plenty of men who are great gift buyers and gift receivers. And, you know, I presume that women find themselves set up for this role of being better gift givers because of the nurturing and caregiving roles in families that they have been socialized to. So maybe that's why I thought it was because of gender. Whether you think the gender has anything to do with it, you will admit that in families, when there are different emotional approaches to gift giving, the holiday season gets more complicated. So with the women in my life, family members, wives, I have ended up with different strategies of compromise and appeasement. One time, my wife and I agreed that she would think up all of the gift ideas if I would be the one who would go and do the buying. But this led to my second guessing her about the price or the appropriateness of the gift. So that didn't work. So the next year we agreed that she would do all the gift buying and I would be relieved of that responsibility, but then I complained about not feeling connected to the gifts that we gave, especially the ones bought and shipped to distant relatives early, because I would forget what they were by the time it was time for the obligatory after Christmas thank you phone call. So one year we decided that we'd save on the stress by making our Christmas gift purchases in February. So we bought the gifts for the more distant relatives early and stashed them away so that the late November mailing deadline would not be a problem. But November came and I was grumpy again because I couldn't remember why we'd bought these gifts. They didn't seem appropriate anymore. It was so long ago. Everything seemed wrong. And then my family's strategies kind of further complicated things for me. My family in Canada are all chips off the same block as I am with pragmatic and rational attitudes. So, you know, my sister would pick up the phone and say, "We don't know what to get for Kathleen. What if we just sent you the money and you pick out something appropriate?" When we all concluded that this strategy wasn't going to work for me and probably for them, my sister went to the family lottery strategy approach. Lots would be drawn among the family members, and each family member buys just one Christmas gift only for the family member that you drew the name of. No more than that. So the rationale here was that this would bring focus and limits to the family gift buying, since you only had to buy one, and maybe you could unscrooge yourself a little bit from the tight hold on the wallet and get something really nice for that one family member. You would think that an idea like this would be the answer to a prayer for a conscientious objector to holiday giving. But I was really surprised at my reaction to this idea. I felt immediately conflicted. And I told my sister I'd have to think about it and call her back. So I sat with this reaction and found myself thinking about the gifts my siblings had given me over the years. Many not that memorable, but some were, mostly because of the way that they sort of always reminded me of my loved one. And they weren't necessarily big things. There was a coffee warmer element that I kept in my office that my sister gave me for many years, and I'd use it most weeks. And there was a jacket that I liked that my brother had brought me from overseas, and another brother had given me a mixtape that he had put together personally and that I enjoyed. Whatever the gift or the reason why it was memorable for me, those associations were really more important than the gift, and I began to feel a little melting in my frozen over holiday heart. I did the math and I said to myself, if I was to participate in this lottery, I'd give a gift to a family member once in maybe 6 years. I don't know, maybe it felt like it was more important to reach out to them more often than that. And just about that time, I came across a book by an anthropologist named Lewis Hyde called The Gift. Hyde, in the book, summarized a wisdom about meaningful gift giving in one phrase that I've kept in my heart ever since. And that phrase is, the gift must always move. What this means is that gifts aren't the thing. They are the energy. They are the living energy exchange involved. The gift that stops with the receiver or is not passed back or is not passed on is a gift that dies. So Hyde's book gave me a different understanding about what was missing in my rational analysis of compulsory holiday giving. That gifts have a life more complex than a scheduled duty. Billy Collins' poem reminds us of one aspect of that. You know, when gifts are given as gestures of love and respect to people that are important in our life, they can't come close to matching or capturing the meaning the relationship has for you. My mother gave me life, and I gave her a lanyard. Gifts can be the building block in sustaining a relationship, in creating a new one, or reinforcing a relationship of mutual obligation that you don't want to fade away. They can be gateways of reconciliation to someone whose relationship with you is stressed or broken. So in this anthropological book, Lewis Hyde wrote wonderful descriptions of Aboriginal cultures that do ceremonial gift exchange, where necklaces or shells or drums are passed back and forth among individuals, families, or tribes in ritualized ways at the same time of year. And of course, these ceremonial gifts are expected, just like a day on the calendar or a season of the year is expected. Being expected is not a bad thing. The particular object that's passed back and forth in ceremonial exchange isn't what's important. It's the gesture of marking the time that's important. The gesture that giving represents also embodies the ways that the natural world has its own rituals of giving and receiving. As the seasons change and living things germinate and grow and reproduce and die. I heard a great story in a news article about this kind of exchange ritual about two brothers who sent the same gift back and forth year after year on their birthdays for many years. And the gift was a little article of clothing that could be packaged easily. So the point was that it was delivered in innovative ways. And meeting the challenge of this annual gift exchange became pretty dramatic. Like the year one brother had a skydiver parachute into his brother's backyard with the gift. And the next year the brother needed to reciprocate and he hired a marching band to deliver the gift. You get the idea. The creative energy involved that went into the giving of the gift was what made it meaningful. So maybe our Christmas ritual is parallel to these older, deep in our DNA, human rituals of gift-giving more than we would care to admit. Once a year, the culture compels us to participate in or actively turn away from this ritual. It's true, it's not spontaneous, and it can feel impractical and wasteful. But our valued relationships, you know, they aren't always very spontaneous. If you spend a long time with the same people, they can involve spending time and money in ways that are impractical and useless and kind of wasteful. Why should the holidays be different from the ways that relationships shape some of the rest of our life? We all live in these networks of connection, commitment, and obligation. I think this season of compulsory gift giving is a way to gather up the threads of those networks that bind us together and remember them and renew them and make them stronger. So I ended up telling my sister that I was going to be a conscientious objector to her gift lottery idea. I told her I didn't want to veto it. I'd put my name in like everybody else and I'd buy that great one gift for the family member that I drew, but if I felt like it, I might like to send some modest gifts to everybody else, despite the lottery. And I hope that they would understand and find that acceptable. And they did, and that was what I did for many years thereafter. And in the process, learned a little bit more about how to pace myself and look for the joy in this kind of approach to compulsory giving. These days, I just try to be as non-judgmental as possible about whatever style of holiday ritual people I'm involved with want to have. Because they do change from year to year, and I'm focused on just trying to find the way that brings for me and those I love the most meaning and the least cynicism. Not necessarily the least stress, because that's probably unavoidable. I've become more successful at not comparing my Christmas to anybody else's and to just lower my expectations for what it should be like. I try to delight in the handmade cards as well as the store-bought ones and the home-cooked food as well as the packages that come from Harry and David. And I celebrate the gift has been made in your name announcements and even the gifts I can't use. Hooray for them. The givers will be in my mind and heart as I try to figure out how to dispose of them. And the gifts that come 3 days after Christmas, three cheers for them. They're like dessert, you know, later on. So it's wonderful that the effort was made. And the gift that's just perfect, that was exactly what I wanted, these days it's usually because I was really explicit about exactly what I wanted and got that message out. It's all good. It's great to be known, to be loved, and to be remembered. And it's great to connect with the people that we care about. And that's always the greatest joy, isn't it, of this season. It pushes us towards expressing our love somehow, somewhere, some way during these next few weeks. That's the continuing gift. No great moral here today. That's the gift that we too often don't expect and don't feel we deserve, this love that comes our way. And it's the season that we remind ourselves that this love is a gift that is always there, always waiting to be opened, waiting to be unwrapped and enjoyed. May you never forget that. May this year be this kind of special time for you.